The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, a new report from the EPA confirms, as you would have heard on the news, that Ireland is way off achieving its 2020 targets for greenhouse gas emission cuts. We're joined by Roderick O'Gorman, Green Party leader. Roderick, this is a very sobering and worrying report, but it's hardly surprising.
Good afternoon, Shane. Yeah, it is worrying. And I think what's even more worrying than the statistics themselves is the lack of urgency in terms of the government's response. You'd think, listening to Minister Dara Bryan this morning on the radio, or even the Taoiseach earlier this afternoon in the Dáil, you'd think that the EPA announcement today was actually good news. They were patting themselves on the back for the fact that they're only going to fail the first climate budget by a small amount. But there's no sense of urgency off them, in my view, about meeting the challenge we face right now. And I think probably the best example of that is that the Climate Action Plan for 2026, that's the plan about how we kind of start to bridge this gap. That still hasn't been published 5 months into 2026, and they're saying they're not going to publish it until Q3 of this year. So that doesn't suggest any urgency to me in terms of dealing with this. And there's consequences to that lack of urgency. Having less renewable energy on our grid means that fuel bills are higher for Irish households, deprioritizing public transport investment. That means more people are stuck in congestion. And ultimately, Ireland is going to have to pay millions, indeed billions of euro in fines to the European Union because of the lack of urgency the government are placing on this issue.
Now, it's only 2 years since the Greens were in government. Do you have to take some of the responsibility for this failure to hit the targets?
Well, we, in our time in government, we were able to get the lowest, the most significant reduction year on year of our emissions in 2023. We were able to cut emissions by 6.8% that year. That's the biggest reduction we've ever seen in the history of the state. So we took action within the 4.5 years we were in government. Those were actions that saw a very significant increase in the use of solar energy, benefiting tens of thousands of homes across the country. And we also put in place those longer term steps that should be delivering in this 5 years. So, for example, Eamon Ryan, when he was energy minister, he got five offshore wind farms tendered out. So they've been tendered out. Firms have bid for them and said, yes, we'll run the wind farms there. But it's up to this government to get the planning through and get them actually built. And one of the things that those groups representing the wind energy companies have been pointing to is that Borbsnull is actually getting slower on issuing decisions, particularly around wind farms, because they don't have the staff, they don't have the experts to actually go through these detailed planning applications. So one of the points I've been raising with the Minister for Public Expenditure is the need for Borbsnála and indeed our other local authorities. They actually have to staff up. We have these big infrastructure projects coming down the line, and all of them go through Borbsnála, that is still quite a small body. And we need the staff so we can get these decisions made, so we can get offshore wind built, and Irish people can enjoy lower fuel bills as a result of that.
Do you really think we will have to pay those fines of between 8 billion and 26 billion euro? When push comes to shove, will the EU not say, you know what, we're not going to start fining our own member countries. Everyone's falling short. Let's reset those targets.
Yeah. Well, firstly, Shane, plenty of European countries aren't falling short. And we have to buy the credits off those countries. So it's not in their interest to start letting people off. But secondly, this process has already started. In May of this year, Minister O'Brien, he sought approval for Ireland to put funds into what's called the EU Renewable Energy Financing Mechanism. And what that actually is Ireland paying for renewable energy projects in other EU member states to offset our own emissions targets. So because we're not doing enough, and because the Irish government isn't doing enough to deliver renewable energy projects here, we're now having to pay to deliver them elsewhere. So that is the consequence. That's the real-life consequence of the government's inaction in this area. And those consequences are happening already. This isn't something being kicked down the end of the road.
OK, so the government needs to do better. Is there also a sense, though, that there's little appetite among the public for the kind of measures that will be required?
Well, I've just come out of canvassing in two by-elections, and there's a lot of appetite for lower energy bills. And people see the link between the fact that Ireland is so dependent on imported expensive fossil fuels and the fact that our energy bills, particularly our electricity bills, are so high. And I make the comparison with Spain. After the Ukraine war, Spain made a decision to move away from gas that was so expensive that caused an electricity price spike in 2022 and invest in renewables. And they've gone really big into solar. And that's why now, even in the midst of the current crisis created by the Iran war, Spain has the lowest wholesale energy prices across the European Union. So I think Irish people want to see those lower fuel bills, and they know that going renewable is the way.
And yet, Roderick, every time we try and build a solar plant or a wind farm, there's huge objections, backed by political parties in some cases.
Yeah, there are definitely objections. And one of the things I'm always amused about by the Taoiseach is that he has a go at opposition parties about objections. And yet, day after day, I hear Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers raise spurious objections on wind farms, on solar farms.
It's not just government TDs, we should point out opposition TDs as well.
Well, what I am struck by is that the government launched a new plan there recently about how they were going to accelerate the delivery of infrastructure, 28 different pillars, and one pillar that was all about leadership. I'm seeing no leadership by the government, and particularly when day after day I hear government backbenchers raise it with the Taoiseach, raise it with the Taoiseach, complain about the delivery of a renewable energy infrastructure, we never see them kind of snapped down. There's always a kind of a plum-off-y reply given to them. So I'd love to see some real leadership from the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, and they insisting that their own backbenchers would actually support this move to renewables that will deliver lower energy prices to all Irish households.
Some figures in the report, not as bad, let me put it like that, as others. Emissions from transport now projected to reduce by up to 28% between 2018 and 2030. Is that not progress?
There are elements of progress in the report, undoubtedly. And I suppose the investments that happened over the last 4 years in public transport, I suppose particularly looking at rural, the massive rollout of rural bus routes and putting in place the groundwork for big public transport projects like Metrolink, like the improvements in the rail infrastructure around Cork City, they're going to start making a big difference over the next number of years. I suppose my worry is, though, the ongoing funding of public transport, because I think the government made a clear decision earlier on that they wanted to divert some of that big capital investment from public transport into roads. And that's why, for example, the Lewis to Finglas, even though that has planning permission, the judicial reviews are gone, it's shovel ready, it's ready to go. That's not going to start construction until towards the end of this decade. Likewise, Dart South West has the planning permission ready to go, but the money isn't there to actually bring on those new and really important public transport projects that would actually help to cut those transport emissions even more.
You were quoted this week as saying, in relation to the Occupied Territories Bill, if there was an economic cost in terms of some form of penalty from the US, that was an economic cost worth paying to include services in that bill. A lot of people would say that's quite a gamble to take in terms of our economic well-being for a bill that I've heard described as largely symbolic rather than economic in its impact.
Well, make three quick points there. Firstly, our symbolic action in terms of recognising Palestinian statehood in 2024 resulted in a number of other European countries then and subsequently also recognising Palestine. So making these symbolic steps.
Sorry, I didn't mean symbolic in a pejorative sense. My point was, the bill is, if it's symbolic, does it really matter if services is in there or not? It's the symbolism of the bill by passing it through the House.
Well, I put that point back to you. I don't believe that the anger that this bill will create in some parts of the Trump administration is going to be any different if it has services in or services out. The very fact that Ireland is taking a strong stance against trade with the occupied territory.
Mightn't have the same impact on... Sorry to cut across you. It mightn't have the same impact on US multinationals here if services is not included.
I don't see that being different if it has services or not. And by Ireland advancing this in the way other European countries have already advanced this, it again contributes to that international movement looking to sanction Israel for its ongoing settlements in the occupied territories. The purpose behind them is to ruin the chance of there ever being a sovereign Palestinian state.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Rodrigo Gorman, Green Party leader, thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.